Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the String of Destiny podcast. It's your faithful assistant, Trig Scanyas. I'm the captain of this vessel, and I want to take you on a cruise today. This will be best called like an op-ed piece in audio form. It's just going to be my take, as humble and unsolicited as it is, on the gun violence epidemic that's prevalent in this country. Of course, you know, I'm not the only one who was stricken by the acts of the last, I guess, month or so, with the shooting in Buffalo, the shooting at a Vietnamese church out in California, the shooting, of course, at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas. And this is my take on not the violence, because there's only one take on violence, and that's it's unnecessary. This is my take on the conversation this country is gripped in as it pertains to guns and gun ownership and the rights to have guns. So this is just my take. And as always, if you feel so inclined, check us out on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, on Google, String of Destiny Podcast. Go like, follow, and subscribe. Go to Instagram, follow us on String of Destiny Podcast. We're doing pretty good work. At least I think so. And I hope you'd agree. But sit back, relax, or sit up and pay attention, like we always do, and enjoy this episode of the String of Destiny podcast. Hey, everybody, you're listening to the String of Destiny podcast. This is Trig Scanyas.
Not going to talk about basketball. Nothing's happened with our team in the last 6 hours. We're going to start the same way tonight. Any basketball questions don't matter. Since we left Shoot Around, 14 children were killed 400 miles from here, and a teacher. And in the last 10 days, we've had elderly black people killed in a supermarket in Buffalo. We've had Asian churchgoers killed in Southern California. And now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to the devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. There's 50 senators right now who refuse to vote on H.R. 8, which is a background check rule that the House passed a couple of years ago. It's been sitting there for 2 years. And there's a reason they won't vote on it, to hold on to power. So I ask you, Mitch McConnell, I ask all of you senators who refuse to do anything about the violence and school shootings and supermarket shootings, I ask you, are you going to put your own desire for power ahead of the lives of our children and our elderly and our churchgoers? Because that's what it looks like. It's what we do every week. So I'm fed up. I've had enough. We're going to play the game tonight. But I want every person here, every person listening to this, to think about your own child or grandchild or mother or father or sister or brother. How would you feel if this happened to you today? We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs, you know. Come on, Mavs, let's go. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go play a basketball game. And 50 senators in Washington are going to hold us hostage. Do you realize that 90% of Americans, regardless of political party, want background check, universal background check? 90% of us, we are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
And we are back. That, of course, was Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr, who was responding to the tragedy in Uvalde, getting ready for a game during the Western Conference finals of the NBA season. That clip courtesy of ABC Sports. And Steve Kerr has a unique perspective on this epidemic as well. His father, Malcolm Kerr, he was killed in Lebanon in 1984 by a gunman. He was over in Lebanon because he was the president of the American University of Beirut, and he was killed by a gunman in 1984, an assassination in 1984. And to give you a little context as to the purpose of this particular episode, I was speaking to a person that I'm a trustworthy person I'm very close to. And I was lamenting, as Coach Kerr was, about, you know, another senseless shooting. And I think my particular spin was it happened on another elementary school campus. Like, the most innocent of our citizens losing their lives senselessly. And I was lamenting to this person, and I was just, you know, spinning my wheels. And they asked me, they said, well, what are you prepared to do about this? And I kind of went blank for a second. I hadn't thought that far. And they asked me, they was like, well, on the macro level, you know, about the laws and things being changed on a micro level, on what are you prepared to do? And I honestly didn't know. But after I thought about it, you know, I came to the conclusion, well, I don't have a platform to speak about this like, you know, Coach Kerr does. But I do have a platform. You know, I have my own, you know, bully pulpit per se. And I can express my emotion this way. I can mass communicate. So that's the reason for this episode. And I'm going to try to do it as succinctly as possible, because this topic gets broad. And I'm not going to try to be subversive. I just want to, you know, state my case. I'll tell you first, you know, right off the bat, I am not a gun person. I don't understand gun culture. I'm not, you know, I'm anti-gun myself. I am not anti your right to have a gun. Because, you know, according to the Second Amendment to the Constitution, you know, which I have, we'll get into that in a second. But according to the Second Amendment of the Constitution, it's your right as a citizen of this country to own a firearm. But I want to speak to you about three particular kind of areas of concern, three topics of concern when it comes to this like this the gun question. And you know, I guess I'll just pose questions after I state my case. But I want to talk about the Second Amendment, as it pertains to people's rights to have firearms. I want to talk about this inferred thought that, you know, having a gun will protect you in your possessions from, you know, like, you know, crime or whatever. And then I want to talk about assault weapons, specifically like AR-15s and the ease in which the procurement and possession of these guns and ammunition are to get in this country. So the Second Amendment, which is a kind of sticky subject for some, it has been dissected by people far smarter than me, and it's an amendment in two parts, right? If you are for you know, gun rights or whatever, you'd pay particular attention to the second part of the amendment. If you are like anti-gun, you'd pay particular attention to the first part of the amendment. But the amendment in its entirety, it says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Okay, well, now, by the letter of the law, the amendment says that citizens of this country have a right to bear arms. But does it? I mean, because if you take it in its entirety, it says you can bear arms to maintain a well-regulated militia. Well, in this country, post-Revolutionary War, we didn't need a well-regulated militia because we now have the army. And I don't care what kind of, like, training and guns you have, you know, this ain't Red Dawn. You know, the citizens can't band together like a group of, you know, neighborhoods band together to thwart off an invading army from another country. That's what our military is for. And that amendment was so the people can protect themselves from the tyranny of a government. So, like, you know, after the Revolutionary War, of course, we separated ourselves from English rule. And the framers figured that if it happened, you know, with British rule, then let's put a safeguard in place so it couldn't happen. I'm talking about tyranny, of course. It couldn't happen in this country. But that amendment is kind of antiquated now because Americans wouldn't be able to protect themselves, you know, full scale from the tyranny of government. That's why we have like elections and appointed officials to prevent us from having a tyrannical government. Now, of course, that, you know, that too is up for debate in recent times. But does the Second Amendment necessarily grant you the right to have guns? If you took what's happening into consideration now, like I said, I'm not anti-gun. Or I'm not anti you having a gun. I just don't get the need to have guns anyway. I'll read you a stat right now. So Cyprus, Bulgaria, Malta, Canada, Portugal, Latvia, Greece, Italy, Croatia, Belgium, France, Lithuania, Slovakia, Estonia, Sweden, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Finland, Switzerland, Slovenia, Australia, Ireland, Czech Republic, Spain, Austria, New Zealand, Denmark, Germany, Poland, Hungary, Norway, Romania, Iceland, the UK, and Japan. All industrialized first world countries, right? Kind of on par with the United States. All of those countries that I just named in total have less gun violence than the United States has in this year alone. So in this year alone, the United States has had more gun violence than all of those 20 plus countries that I named off. So the issue with guns is a uniquely United States issue. Like, it doesn't affect the rest of the world. So, you know, my question is it necessary to need guns in this country now? Like, wouldn't there be a need to kind of reform or curtail the amount of guns that the United States citizens can have, and then like open carry? You know what I mean? If you have a gun, if you have a firearm to protect your home, which we'll get into later, why then should you take your gun out in the street? Like, if you're going to a day party or a night party, whatever, you know, a barbecue, and you're going around your people, you know what I'm saying? These people you know, your friends, your family, your loved ones, whatever. Why do you need to take your gun to that one? Because gun violence at places like that, like at a party or a club or, you know, and an outing, the violence and the accessibility of guns are not mutually exclusive arguments. The argument is kind of conflated. You know, there is a, you know, you had a party, you know, you start drinking, you start arguing, argument gets kind of, if you know, escalated. Then all of a sudden, they're shooting. Yeah, they're shooting because people brought guns to, and I'm talking about like lawful gun owners. You know, people who don't have any reason to have guns, and they got guns and they shoot up the place. You know, that's crime. You know what I mean? But we can mitigate some of the instances of crime if we just, you know, if we just do something. So that's the question. According to the Second Amendment, it is lawful for you to have and possess firearms. But couldn't we come up with a peaceable solution as to where you can have your firearm, how many firearms you can have, what kind of firearms you can have, so that way the damage that's done by guns would be mitigated? You know, just a thought, just a question. And the second area is the assertion that gun ownership prevents crimes against your person or your property. A lot of times, you know, another thing that people cite as far as, you know, their ability by the Constitution to own guns is the use of that those guns or those firearms in the protection of their property and their person and or their person, I should say. And there was a a survey done by an organization called the National Crime Victimization Survey, right? They put out a biannual polling data on crime victims. And according to the National Crime Victimization Survey, it says 2% of victims of non-fatal violent crimes. That's all the crimes like rape and aggravated assault and robbery and stuff like that. And 1% of property crime. It means like burglary and stuff like that. Used a gun in self-defense. So guns aren't being used, according to this survey, to protect your home or protect your person, to protect your property. As a matter of fact, according to this same survey, it says people use guns to commit crimes more often than to protect themselves. So people use guns in the committing of a crime more than guns are used to prevent a crime. So, question, is it necessary just because it's granted by the Constitution at the time of this recording? is it necessary to use a gun or to have a gun to protect your property when guns aren't used to protect property? There's another study that says that having a gun in the home is a bigger threat to the people living in that home than it is to anybody who would like break into the home, let's say. So you have a gun in your home and the people who live in that home are in direct danger from that gun more so than any other person that lives outside of the home. Now that's a scary trend. That's a scary thought. There are studies that say people who are in domestic violence situations are increasingly more likely to die at the hands of their significant other from a gun than those who don't have a gun in the home. So is it necessary to have a gun to protect your home? Can we think of other ways to protect that home other than having firearms in the home? Like alarm systems, burglar bars, neighborhood watch, a dog, a rooster that crows. I'm just being facetious, but can we come up with an alternative? Now, this is, of course, if we can think of alternative ways to keep our our property and our neighborhoods and our persons safe. Like I alluded to earlier about the open carry. Like if it's not allowed to like just walk around with your gun, well then it would be less likely that crimes are committed, or when they're committed, because it's unlawful to carry a gun, the people who actually use guns in the committing of a crime, you would hope that they would be caught and prosecuted much faster. And then the penalties for using a gun in the commission of a crime will be so severe that it would deter other people from using it. That's just a question. Can we think of another way to protect ourselves rather than using guns or having guns in our home? Or can we figure out a better way to store the firearms that we have in our home, so it'd be less likely to hear about a story, a toddler or juvenile or anybody, you know, accidentally shot themselves or somebody else because that gun wasn't stored properly. Just questions, because I know that, you know, things won't change. Like things won't get better on this front until we do something. And, you know, the gun debate is such a big debate and such a big problem that it may not be like one solution and eureka, we did it. No, it may take a couple of things to happen for us to stem the tide of gun violence in this country. But we have to start it somewhere. And, you know, why not start with just asking ourselves the question, is it really necessary to have guns in the home or to have guns out, you know, out in, you know, out and about in the street or whatnot? You know, because I don't know guns. Like I said, I am not into gun culture, but I do know people. I do know human behavior. And if you feel the need to get a gun, then you're going to go get a gun. And if you get a gun, you're going to want to like show the gun. And if you want to show the gun, you're going to want to shoot it. And if you want to shoot the gun, you might get mad and it might tempt you to shoot somebody. Now I'm talking about registered law-abiding gun people, not criminals. Like this isn't, you know, because the criminal element is already admonished. You know what I mean? I'm talking about like when things happen from people who actually have a license to carry. We can ask ourselves questions that will make it less likely for this kind of thing to happen, right? Just questions. So now we can go back and forth about gun ownership. We have constitutional lawyers that want to uphold the Second Amendment because it is a part of our binding contract of this country, the Constitution. You have people who want to amend the amendment or to kind of just kind of review it a little. And this is not without precedent, everybody. We had a former president of the United States who they had the reason that the lawyers taking so long to like bring him up on criminal charges or whatever is because the framers never thought that a U.S. president would do some of the stuff that he did. So it doesn't have a precedent. So they're kind of stuck. So they have to figure out as they go, like, what should we do about this guy? So it's not without the realm of possibility that, you know, they can look at the Second Amendment and as it pertains to our country now, make some changes to it.
Sit tight. String of Destiny will be right back.
But one thing that we can't and we mustn't be at odds about in this debate is the victims that lose their lives to gun violence, particularly the youngest and most vulnerable of us all, our children. Now, according to an article written by U.S. News and World Reports, there have been 179 children killed, or, you know, young people. The youngest, of course, being 5 years old on a school campus. Since Columbine, about 20 years ago, Columbine school in Colorado, roughly 169 young people losing their lives in school shootings. And one thing that these shootings have in common, whether it's, you know, all these mass shootings, whether it's the Las Vegas or whether it's Columbine, whether it was the Pulse nightclub here in Orlando, whether it's Uvalde, Texas, whether it's Parkland, whether it's Sandy Hook, what they all have in common, what all of these, you know, 1-2 person shootings have in common is the sheer volume of the damage that they inflict with automatic weapons, with like the AR style battlefield weapons and artillery. And now, according to the Constitution that people are so quick to go to, you know, when it serves a purpose, or when it's for their argument, according to the Constitution, an AR-15 is a legal firearm to have and to possess. But what do you need an AR-15 automatic weapon for, other than to shoot as many targets in the shortest amount of time possible? Like, what does a civilian need with that type of artillery? And that's my question. My question, I guess, fundamentally is not that you can't get it, because you can be 18 years, and that's another thing. You could be 18 years old and go and get an AR-15 and magazines, but you can't go into a bar and get a beer and cool yourself off. That's I don't understand that. 18, like, you don't even have to have graduated high school, and you can legally buy one of these weapons of mass destruction. So I'm pretty sure that if there was a self-defense case about, like, if a man had a tank and he shot his neighbor's house with his tank because he thought that his neighbor was plotting something against him and he just wanted to protect themselves. I don't think that that case would stand up in court, because that's not a reasonable escalation to any situation. To shoot somebody's house down with a tank? Well, if he looking at the letter of the law, the Constitution said, I have a right to bear arms. I have a right to have, you know, weapons to protect myself. But no one would say that, you know, you would win that case, man. You just shot the man's house with a tank. But what is the difference when you have these particular weapons that can inflict so much damage in such a short period of time? We freak out when people own pit bulls, because they say pit bulls in a fight situation can inflict a little more damage than, let's say, a poodle or a chihuahua, which those little dogs, if you know anything about dogs, they're crazy anyway. But if you can't own a pit bull because it gets under the skin of people because they're nervous, how can you own a AR-15 that shoots? And I don't know the numbers, y'all. Like I said, I'm not a gun person, but I know that they can shoot more rounds than like a pistol. Like you had like one of those six shooter pistols or whatever. I don't even know if they still make the six shooters, but you can shoot six shots and you have to reload again and shoot six shots. Well, these guns, man, you can shoot hundreds of rounds in moments. So why is that gun necessary to own if you are a civilian? You ain't practicing for the militia. Because if you join the army, they give you training, and they aim you in a direction that ain't in the direction of a school or a mall or a place of worship or a park. So why are these available to have? And if these are the weapons that are used in more mass shootings than any other weapon, why not just stop people from getting these guns? I have a cousin of mine who we had this conversation once before, and he said, well, if you stop people from getting, or if you take away the AR-15 or the people's rights to get the AR-15, well, what does it stop? Then you're going to take away, you know, the pistol, or you're gonna take away the shotgun or whatever. And I said, I don't know. I have no idea where it stops. But I do know it has to start somewhere. And if we can do this small part in just not having it available for civilian use, that's what I'm saying. Like what do you need to you know, carry your AR-15 into the grocery store for? What do you need to have it, you know, anywhere? Like if you a hunter, hey man, if you shoot a deer 150 times with this AR-15, what do you have left of the deer? And if you need an AR-15 to protect your home, you got to ask yourself the bigger fundamental question is, what the heck are you doing that you need an AR-15 to protect your home? You need to get out of the whatever business you in. You need to get out of that business. So why do you need an AR-15 or a MAC-10 or AK-47? All those, like, you know, super duper shooter guns. Why do you need those? And you are a regular citizen. Like, why can't you protect your home with a pistol or a shotgun or whatever? Why do you have to have an AR-15 if you claim you're going to, you know, you want to protect your home or you want to protect your family or whatnot? I just, I don't get it, you know? So that's just my question. And if these guns are used to slaughter, and that's the word, y'all, slaughter. They are used to slaughter children, 5 and 6 years old, you know, up to like 11 years old. That's how old the babies were in Texas. Why do we need these circulating in the population? We don't. So my question is, do we need AR-15s or like automatic weaponry? Do we need those if we want to stem the tide of all of these violent attacks? Do we need to? I mean, think about it. Uvalde was the latest, but you had Buffalo a few weeks prior, or a week or so prior. You had Parkland at Stoneman Douglas School. You had the dude up in Virginia Tech who killed like 35 people. Columbine. You had Sandy Hook. You had the concert in Las Vegas. And these are like one person with a gun killing like hundreds of people. I don't know, y'all. It's just something has to be done, because this is an epidemic that is synonymous with the United States, because no one wants to infringe upon our sacred rights. But in doing so, in being like, you become numb to all of the mamas on TV crying because their child went to school and they ain't never gonna see them no more. I said that I was not going to try to subvert your thinking on guns. And I really wasn't. I really wasn't. Because at the end of the day, you know, people are going to do the same thing. My dad taught me something a long time ago. He said, a man forced upon his will is of the same impression still. Meaning, you know, I could talk till I'm blue in the face. And at the time of this episode, there is legislation in the House of Representatives about a common sense gun control bill that everybody thinks is going to die in the Senate. But there is at least legislation on the table, because, man, it's hard to think that if like 90% of the American population wants some kind of like sensible gun policies in place, we can't get it to happen. You know, it's hard for me to believe that. And, you know, we have become so politicized in this country. Everything has to be split down a party line. Every issue has to have like a party affiliation. Like what party, and I know it's macabre, but what party supports the slaughter of little children? I this is just me, probably as naive as I am, I don't believe anybody would want that. But your inability to come up with a solution, or at least to try to come up with a solution to this, makes me wonder. I mean, you know, well, I know one, well, they're not a part, they're not affiliated with a party per se, but the National Rifle Association, they, oh, if I was the leader of the free world, man, the first thing I would do is I would say that the NRA cannot donate to anybody's party, anybody's like campaign. You are not allowed to line the pockets of any politician, because that politician will never want to go against the NRA. You'll never, ever, ever be able to make a contribution to anybody's campaign. But those are my questions, ladies and gentlemen. Does the Second Amendment, like, concretely give you the right to have guns if you read it in its entirety? And if you say yes, does the ownership of a gun or having a gun in the home actually protect your home or protect your person from crime? Or does the availability of guns increase the crime? And if you say it's my right to own the gun and I can use these guns to protect my home or protect my property, is it necessary to own a firearm with the capability of an AR-15? And can't we do anything proactive to stem the tide of this violence? You know, I read you a list of countries that have less gun violence per capita than the United States, right? All of these countries that I named. But you know, in like Japan, like just take a country like Japan, they have relatively no gun violence at all. Not mass shootings. No. They have like almost zero gun violence at all, because, man, they make you go through a lot to get a gun. First, you got to take a class. And then you got to take a test from the class. Then you got to show proficiency in using the gun. Like you got to almost be like Annie Oakley, you know, with the gun. And then they do like an extensive background check. They talk to like your friends and family, your neighbors, everybody, your work, your coworkers, all this, to determine what type of person you are. Then you have a psych eval. And then you can't own but a certain type of gun. And they have almost zero gun crime in Japan. Now, contrast that to the greatest country in the free world, and the scores of bodies that we bury in every year behind gun violence. So what can we do? I'm talking to sensible gun owners. People who probably wouldn't want to own an AR-15, or people who have a gun in their home, but it's in the lockbox and they don't take it out. They don't brandish it. They don't, you know, walk around town with it, you know, on their holster. Like, what can we do? What can we do to combat this glaring problem that don't seem to be going anywhere? And, you know, once you say sensible gun laws or gun reform or whatever, what people who don't want to even entertain the conversation hears is they coming to take our guns. And that's not, no one wants to take, listen, you know, if you got a shotgun, you know, that's chrome plated and you got like Biggie Smalls face on the butt of the gun, hey, keep that. You know, nobody want to take that away from you. But we can do more things, or we can do something to combat the innocent people who die at the hands of guns every year. So, listen, like I said, you can follow along, follow the podcast on Spotify, on Apple, on Google. You can even go to the String of Destiny podcast on Instagram and, you know, leave a comment if you want. Leave a comment. You know, this wasn't really a discussion forum. Like I said, this was just me kind of getting things off of my chest. But maybe I'll have a discussion forum pretty soon on this topic. And I want to hear what you guys think. Like, what can be done? What can be done to help this country get out of the grips of gun violence? If we're not willing to make concessions on the Second Amendment, then what is there that we can do? Let me know. Like I said, you know, smarter people than me have stalemated in figuring out what to do. So let me hear from you. What can we do to ensure that everybody, you know, every U.S. citizen has the opportunity for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? But most importantly, the youngest of us, because, you know, you are robbing this country of a future. These young men and women who are losing their lives on school campuses, they could be the change that we need in this world. But their lives are being snuffed out because of something that we refuse to want to change. So let me know. Yeah, thank you. I thank you for listening. Like I said, I welcome any feedback, any comments, any suggestions. Let's see if we can do something about this. Okay, y'all, please be safe out there. Take care of each other. Take care of yourselves. That is my earnest prayer for you. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the String of Destiny podcast. Make sure you follow us on all your podcast platforms to stay current on all the news and latest episodes of the String of Destiny podcast. Follow us on Instagram at the String of Destiny podcast.